Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, as always, against his will, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Even though it was your idea to record.
We should do it now. Oh my god.
I gotta change up the intro. I gotta say, and with me as always, desperate to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Norm Sousa. Norm, how are you doing today? You know, this beautiful, gloomy morning.
It's gloomy. I actually like the gloom.
Because it matches you?
It reminds me of the East Coast.
Ah,
where I once
you.
Lived.
Yes, yeah. Once upon a time.
Because there's no weather here.
No.
It's just the same always.
It goes from beautiful to gorgeous.
And this morning we have some mist.
It was a bit misty. I thought, this is a little fun. I put on my bathing suit.
Sorry, you put on your
my bathing suit.
Gotcha. Cool, just wanted to clarify that.
No problem.
Yeah, we're having a bit of a misty morning.
Yeah.
And it was your birthday yesterday, first of all. We should say that.
Thank you.
So we had fun.
We had a bluest.
Yeah, yesterday was fun.
Yeah, we did have fun.
I'm having a rough morning today. So if you're doing my self-esteem check-in, this morning I'm at a one or a two.
Wow, Norm.
Yeah, yesterday, if you asked me the same time yesterday, I would be like, I'm at like a seven here.
Well, my birthday's the funnest day for most people. Except me.
Well, here's another secret. People like you always treat your birthday like a true misery.
I hate it.
Yeah, you hate it.
Can't
you drag
stand it.
Everyone down around it.
Excuse you.
And I insisted that we have some fun.
I felt like I was being dragged to hell and back. How dare you?
We went to the Clippers Mavericks Game 7.
So much fun.
It was a blast. We got on the Jumbotron a bunch.
Yeah, we did.
You were dancing. You had your little...
My hair flip. That always gets me on.
You had your little clacker, inflatable clacker things.
They love the clack.
Which is super fun. Yeah, everyone loves the clack.
Yeah.
But
wait, one or two, Norm?
Today?
Yeah, one or two?
Yeah, I'm probably like a two.
What's the driving force? What would be the main
thing? I just got to get my shit together.
Got to get your shit together.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm staying up late. I'm like... You know, having a couple cocktails that I don't need because I'm just bored.
Oh, isn't that the worst? It's like you're not even doing it for fun.
We had a very stressful week last week.
It was a very stressful week. I didn't touch on it.
We didn't even have time to do the hat toss.
We didn't get to do the first annual hat toss of 2021.
Which, of course, if you don't remember, was Alana insisted that she could put a scarf on the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Then I said, there's absolutely no way. And then... you said you could throw a hat on
to get
him.
To get
him, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't even think you could throw a hat on someone when you can see them.
Yeah.
And you said, well,
yes, I can,
yes,
obviously.
I can. Yeah. So we haven't done that yet.
But we haven't done it yet.
Probably will at some point.
All I'm hearing is that one of us has confidence and the other one doesn't believe in them.
I don't believe that you can do it. Yes.
Here's the thing. I 100% know I can. And I will.
And also, hold on. I know maybe this intro is going a little longer than normal. We do have a great, and by we, I mean you have a great guest.
Oh my God, so excited.
It's Lauren Lapkus. You read it in the title of the podcast.
Well, you love to spoil it. I like saying it, Norm.
But hold on. But when people even click on this, it's already spoiled.
But they haven't heard the way I say it.
Oh,
with my tone and inflection.
Yeah, most annoying. My tone.
This is what the people are here for.
Just you on a roller coaster doing the podcast. What was I talking about?
The hat toss. We didn't get to do it because it was such a stressful week.
It was a stressful week.
I talk about it in the episode, in the interview with Lauren. Okay. We get into it because she's an old friend, and it's one of those friends, you know, you can't help but just tell everything. Like, you just feel so comfortable that you're just like, you're right back to where it was, and you're just like, I gotta tell what's going on right now. I can't keep anything in. That's what happened. It was such a therapeutic conversation.
Yeah, I was... in the room when you started recording.
Yeah.
And you, the second you opened the screen, you both started laughing maniacally.
Oh, we freaked out.
And I was like, did the Joker hack your computers and some green mist came out?
We
and
went mental.
Infected you with the laughing disease? Like, you both went absolutely insane.
I was so happy. So was she. We were just so happy.
You were happy to see each other.
Yeah, it was good.
That is nice.
Shall we get to it?
Yeah, we might as well. I have no other updates.
Wait, do you have a goal for today?
Nope.
Me neither. Great. Okay, let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado.
I want to hear the way you're going to say this.
Please welcome Lauren Lapkus right after this break.
Oh, you nailed it. It's a self-esteem party.
It's a self-esteem party. Oh my God, Lauren. I already said this to you. First of all, just so everyone knows, we started hysterically laughing the second you got on the Zoom, like maniacs. I couldn't be happier to have you. I need an old friend more than ever today. It's like, I mean, you know when you just have one of those days? Let's get into it. Let's get into yours, and then we'll get into mine. I have a feeling my updates aren't going to be as cool, but... you know, we're all in it for the cool updates.
I mean, it's not a time of a lot of updates in general.
I mean, yeah, let's hear it. Let's keep them cool. Okay, scale. You know the drill. Scale of 1 to 10. How you feeling in terms of self-esteem today, recently, whatever?
I feel like today I'm like a 6.
Okay, that's
maybe a 7.
Oh my God, above neutral. Neutral.
Yeah.
So that's
it's
good.
Above neutral.
Okay. Is there anything in particular that's clocking in around the 6 or 7? Any reason?
I mean, okay. I guess the main thing is I'm having an issue with a friend, and so that's like kind of weighing on me. So it's like I can't just have all my normal fun thoughts.
Nope. Nope.
And so that's kind of just circling my brain. But other than that, I feel like everything is pretty good. So. That's where the balance comes in.
You know what? It's so crazy. It's like you think it's your marriage or your family that weighs on you the most. For me, I find it's the friend thing because there's no guarantee they're going to stay. Like my family stuck with me. That's it.
Yeah.
My husband stuck with me. Good luck getting a divorce, Norm. I just yelled at him. But with the friends, you're like, is this it? Like, are we done? It feels like that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Has it been going on for a while?
Yeah, for like a good portion of the pandemic. So it's been like, and I feel like the pandemic makes it so that it's harder to resolve things, at least because you can't just like get together. I mean, I've been really careful this whole time and like really not seeing a lot of people. And so that's an added element. And then like, if I am going to get together, do I want to go get together to have a huge emotional conversation? You know, I don't know if I want to do that. Like that feels really hard. So it's like, it's all just kind of, I feel like that's delayed a lot of the progress with
I agree.
This feeling of like, you know, and I really like leaned into like being a homebody.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
Which I mean, I love it.
I love it. Lauren,
for a lot of reasons.
We spent 2 years in Chicago in your home.
We literally never did anything.
We did nothing. How we became such good friends and had so much fun is beyond me.
I mean, it was just fully just hanging out at home. I mean, avoiding snow. I mean, that was a big part of it too.
Huge part
always
of it.
Horrible winters.
I know. Which I'm going to relay our story about that we shared together going to Wisconsin. Don't know if you remember that. She's rolling her eyes, guys.
No, that just came up recently. I'm trying to think of where I told this story because it was so crazy. I remembered it recently, and I was like, that was the most insane thing ever.
I remembered it. I was talking about it with Candy. Just to quickly fill everybody in, Lauren and I, as well as Candy, past guests and some other pals, we were all on a team together, an all-girl team. It was really fun. And we were doing a weekend away at our friend's parents' house in Wisconsin. Huge, big house, hot tub, all this fun stuff. So I was in Lauren's car. We're driving up and just about I'm going to say, and I grew up in the country, one of the worst storms I think I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and a key detail was that we didn't have smartphones. And so we had the directions written down, maybe. But even if we, I don't even know if we did, because I think we were just following their car. And then at a certain point, we lost the other car.
Yeah.
And then the snowstorm happened. So I think we were like winging it, like how we were going to get there.
No, Lauren, and we then called your dad. Don't you remember we called your dad?
I do know. Yes. I had no clue where we were, what we were doing. Then it starts snowing like a full blizzard.
Yes.
And I remember we pulled off to the side of the road at one point, and we've been driving for hours.
Oh my God,
hours.
To be
like a couple hour drive, you know, and we were driving. It was going on forever and ever. And we finally pulled over somewhere and asked directions, and that was not very helpful.
No.
But then we got there. My legs had seized up from driving.
Oh, my God.
Like, I had, like, insane cramps in my legs from driving, you know, and being so tense for, like, hours.
Yes.
Because we couldn't see out the windshield. And then you massaged my calves when we got to the place. Couldn't believe it, though. But everyone was having the best time, and we got there, and we were like, holy fucking
Oh, my God,
shit.
The best time. They're in the hot tub. They're all high. I mean, everyone was living, the other car was living their best life, and we were, like, all crying. It was, like, the worst experience on the planet. But it was, like,
who was in our car? Because I only remember you and me, but I can't remember if there was someone else.
Only remember you and me, too.
Okay, maybe it was. Maybe it just was.
Or it could have been someone, one of the quieter members, under the radar.
Yeah.
Someone.
I think it was just you and me. But, I wonder if we're just rewriting that because we were the only ones talking the whole time.
We were the only ones talking. And I was in the front with you. So we were, like, losing our minds up there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was something else. But we made it through, and we're still friends, and that's what's important.
Yes. That memory, it was a great memory. It all worked out, thank God. We got there. I mean, it could have gone really bad. Like, that was crazy.
It almost did. It almost like it was like, again, I grew up in Canada in the country, and I've never seen a storm like that in my life. And it was like I will say this. You really kept it together. I know we were all got really upset, but it was like you did keep driving. Like you plowed through. We called literally plowed through.
Yes.
And you did it. And I'm like, I'm already such a nervous driver. And I just, for me, like, even when it's raining here in LA, you know, everybody drives like it is a snowstorm. They go crazy. I'm like the person pulled over on the side having like a panic attack because I'm like, my car's in the river and I don't know what to do.
Did you drive in Canada much? Because I feel like you didn't, right?
No, yeah. I didn't because we were only allowed to use my mom's car, and then my siblings would use it, my older siblings. So I didn't even get my license till I was out of town, and then it expired. I drove so little in Toronto. I didn't drive in Chicago, obviously, because I just had the Canadian one. And really, I only had my first car here in LA. I know.
I just had another memory, though, of another failed trip when I was trying to visit you in Toronto. And I was going to take a Greyhound on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
At midnight. Okay, the plan's horrible, by the way.
Terrible plan.
The plan is a horrible plan.
And we probably were like, this is the best way to do it.
And we were like, this makes so much sense.
This makes so much sense.
So I went, my dad took me to the Greyhound stations. I was in college, and he dropped me off, and it was, of course, totally like creepy because it's like midnight at the Greyhound station.
It's the worst.
It's not the ideal place to be on the holiday. And I sat there for, I think, a full hour, and then went up to the counter and was like, when's the bus going? She's like, that left an hour ago. I missed it. I just completely missed it. I was just sitting there, and I don't know what I was supposed to be looking at or like how I was going to know, but like, I completely didn't see it. And then I called my dad, and he came and got me, and then I just went home. It was like,
and honestly, Lauren, it's probably still better than the Wisconsin trip.
Well, you know what it is? It's probably better than me getting on the Greyhound and riding that for 8 hours at midnight with a bunch of fucking weird people.
I used to ride that. That's what I used to take home all the time when we were living in Chicago. And it was like, I mean, I saw somebody shit on the bathroom floor at the stopover in Detroit because that at the border. And I was like, all right, man. And then we both had to get back on the bus. Like, it was like she was fully on the bus.
So, what the fuck?
And like there was so many bathrooms. I mean, so many bathrooms.
No reason at all.
Yeah, no, you dodged a bullet. You dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're at a 6 or 7, bit of a friend thing. I can relate. I haven't been doing a good job keeping up with my friends as much because I've been really stressed out. There's a lot of personal stuff happening. And it's weird. It's giving me like a guilt complex. Like I feel like I'm letting them down. Like today, my self-esteem, I clocked in at this last week and then at like around a three, so did Norm. And I would say I'm at like a two today. It's like,
yeah,
dude. I mean,
well, you know what? I just kind of fucked me up and I'm going to see if I can find it here. I was just, my friend just sent me this article and hopefully she wasn't giving me a hint, but the article is called, the article says that basically half of your friendships, don't think of you as their friend in the same way that you do. Like basically like you think you have more of a friendship with people than they do and vice versa.
Oh my God.
And like, and then it's a New York Times article called How to Rearrange Your Post-Pandemic Friendscape. So it's basic. It says re-entry offers an opportunity to choose which relationships we wish to resurrect and which are better left dormant. But there was like the Twitter thing was like half your friends like don't think you're friends or like whatever. And I was like, this shit's fucked up. Like,
oh yeah.
And I feel like during this time too, it's definitely made it weirder. Like I reach out to a lot of people. I feel like I'm doing my best to be pretty connected.
Yeah.
But then there's so many people I just haven't seen because I would normally run into them at UCB or something. And then you kind of just go, well, we're not really text friends. We're like run into each other friends, but I'm not running into anyone. So like a lot of those are there, but I'm like, I still feel like they're there, but like maybe they don't, you know, it's just weird.
I agree with you. Like, especially with this podcast. And I know you do a lot of podcasts that have guests on it as well, but I feel like I'll talk to people on this podcast and then we're like, when was the last time we saw each other? And some people, it's like 4 years. Like, you're like, oh my God. But it's like, I like you so much. I enjoy talking to you and all this stuff. But you're like, oh, I like really didn't see you. But in my mind, like you and I haven't seen each other in so long just because, you know, you're obviously busy filming and this and that. And I kind of stopped doing UCB shows. And that was kind of where we would run into each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like so excited to chat with you. But when I asked you, and I've had this problem before, I was like, oh, is she going to want to do it? And why would I think that?
I was like, I wonder. No, but I was like, I wonder if Alana will ever ask me to do it. Cause I listen to the show like all the time. And I wasn't like offended or anything by not being asked. I do a lot of podcasts. So I'm also always fine with not being asked to be on a podcast. Cause people hear me talk enough, but I was like, oh, I wonder if she'll ever ask me. And then when you did, I was so excited. So
it's
funny that we both had that same
Lauren. Can I tell you the truth? I waited to ask, because you've been on my list for a year. I have like a list of people to ask. I waited until I got good enough guests that you would see I had valid guests.
No!
And then you would do it. Oh, I'm not God. Joking, Lauren. I was nervous to ask you. I was nervous. And when you said yes, I like screamed. Nice, but I screamed to Norm. I went, we got Lauren Lapkin.
That's so nice, but it's so not necessary because I love the show and I also like all your guests have been really interesting. It's like, so I never really think of it that way, but I don't know. That's just funny that we both had similar sort
of thoughts. But some people do. Like some people, like I blasted out this tweet saying I'll do anyone's podcast and boy, did I follow through against my will, but they were like,
oh my God, did you get some weird ones?
Oh my God. Lauren, I had one. And listen, if any of you guys are listening, please know I regret doing your podcast. But one of them, Lauren, was about a video game. And then you improvise within the video game. And I thought we were doing a different video game. And I chose it. And I was like, oh, I love this game. And they were like, that's not the game. And I was like, okay.
So Oh, no.
I'm like, what a disaster. Yeah, I'm trying to do the improv. I'm like Princess Peach or something. And I was like, fuck, man. I don't know who anybody is. I felt so bad.
And why is it happening? Yeah.
And why? I don't even play the game. It was just the only one that... It was either that or my Zumba. And I was like, do you know the Zumba character?
There's a Zumba game?
No, it's just actually Zumba, yeah, on the Nintendo Switch. And it's like, so there are no characters. I mean, there's the teachers, and yeah, I hate a couple of them, but there's no real characters.
Oh, yeah, I think I've done that before. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's just like, it just does songs, and it's like, everybody's being too much, and the songs are like popular songs, but a little off, you know?
Yeah. That, do you watch Married at First Sight by any chance?
I don't, not yet. Well, I'm knee-deep in 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, needy. Well, that's my shit.
Yeah.
Well, Married at First Sight is also really good, but they always have like songs that are like someone just going like, I'm going to leave you if you go. Like, it's just like, it makes no sense. Like,
so direct.
Like, it's always like a very literal song about like whatever's happening. And like, it's like, where did they get this music? Like, who are these people making this song?
Honestly,
like,
it probably came from my album. I got to be honest with you. If anybody can write a very specific song, it's me about anything. I'm at this too. I'm feeling a bit of friend stuff like you're feeling. And my question is this. Do you feel like it's something you're able to, I don't know the word, resolve right now? Or do you feel like it's something you have to let breathe? Because I'm in a couple of let breathes right now. Because I think people are frustrated with me.
See, I'm in a let breathe, but I don't think that the other person is. And so that's a really hard thing. Because for me, I'm like, this is the best thing to do right now. For me, I cannot keep trying to resolve this right now. I believe in the future I would like to, but it's like the idea of kind of the pain of these conversations that we keep having is not working for me. And so I need to step back, or I'm going to either say something I don't want to say, or it's going to escalate, or, you know, whatever, or just going to stress me out a lot. And I just really don't want that right now. Yeah. I mean, I've shared online that I'm pregnant. So it's like, that's also it's a huge part of it. I'm like, I just want to be calm and like try to just get through this.
Dude, it's not even want to. You literally have to for the safety of the baby.
Yeah, like I don't want to be like crying and like screaming at somebody. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, or if it gets to that, or just like the sort of like stress that builds up in your body and you're like so overwhelmed. Like, I just really don't want that. So, but I feel like whenever I kind of draw that line, this person doesn't see that as being like productive, but I'm like, but I think it is, like, it's actually helping so much. Like, if I had responded to you exactly how I wanted to the moment it came into my head, this would probably be worse.
Yeah.
So like, you know,
yeah, I don't know. I agree with the, I agree with your choice, because it's, people make you so mad, and I'm a reactive person. You're a reactive person. We used to love getting mad about 101 things, but it's the action that you take or don't take afterwards that's going to make or break the friendship. And
yeah,
you gotta sometimes, like, the thing I'm learning right now is people grow apart, and it's of no personal offense. It's just, it's not about you.
Oh my God. And this is so huge. Like, I feel like this is something that people... that we don't talk about it enough. Like, I think friendship, like, isn't discussed enough as like an issue, because you talk so much about like breakups, and like, I feel like there's so much advice out there for that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
Or for dating or whatever, but it's like, friendships are so complicated, and there's so much there. It's more than like a lot of relationships that you're going to have, like with dating and stuff, like these, some of these friends you've known for a long time, or just how complicated female friendships can be.
Oh my God.
That, like, I feel like we need more people like analyzing this and like giving. There's this one person I follow on Instagram. Her Instagram is Rinnie Riot, and she was posting in her stories about it was about dating initially, about like when guys like ghost you on like basically want to break up with you, but then keep liking all your posts and like
you know,
responding to things.
Oh yeah.
And then she was saying, then it kind of, people were responding to it, and she was putting in her stories the responses, and they were all about like, what about when friends do this? Like, when you aren't really talking to your friend anymore, but then they like your thing, or they comment or something. And then like, it starts, like, people act like the internet is not like real, but it's like, that is affecting me to get that message, like a heart on something from someone I don't talk to or something, you know? So it's, but she was like, we need to delve more into female friendships, because there's not enough about this. And I totally agree with that. I just feel like we're not able to have like a, I don't know, I just feel like I don't hear enough people kind of talking about that.
I agree.
And it always makes you feel alone when you're going through one. Like, you're like, oh, I'm having this problem with this person, and it feels crazy. I feel like I'm the only person in the world who like can't have a friendship or something. And then you hear like everyone has one of those right now at the same time.
And so, it's awful, because it's like making you feel bad, and half the time you don't need to feel bad. Like, right now, I know some people are frustrating with me because I have a lot of personal stuff going on right now, and I just can't rise above it. I really cannot rise above it. It is what it is. Yeah, I've been beat down. It is what it is. I know we're all going through shit. Unfortunately, I just have to make the announcement that I got to take this time for me, because I cannot be there for someone else. And even to take it to the next level, and I love the people in my life, but they can't be there for me right now. No matter how hard they try, there's just no comfort. And it's not their fault, but you... To avoid a blow up or a fight or whatever, it's like we said, that time needs to be taken, because what I don't mm-hmm. want is for them to be like, you don't talk to me or you or tell me things or this, this, and this. But I'm like, it's too painful to talk about. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. And unfortunately, I'm not in the headspace to care about your stuff. Like, basically, you know what I mean? It's like, I know you saw online and I appreciate you retweeting it. And I haven't talked about it on this podcast yet. But my niece is very sick right now. She has cancer for the third time. She's 7. And it's a disaster.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate your
support.
I was
really happy to see that the GoFundMe got all that money, though. That was really
nice.
Oh,
my God. Yes, but there was a GoFundMe. And thanks again, Lauren, for posting and for all the
people
that
donated. Yeah,
and
if people want to donate, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's still going. Just up on Twitter. We're trying to get that trip to Disney going for her.
But that's so hard. I can't imagine.
Well, it's so hard. And, you know, my whole family, everybody, because of COVID, is trapped, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, dude, here's where the two comes from, the clock in. My Tay-Tay had a stroke yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it's like, now she's like, they don't know about the brain damage. She's paralyzed in half her body. It's like, no one can go see her. Everyone's trapped. I'm here. I don't have a passport. I literally cannot leave the country. It's like everybody's just trapped. And I feel like I let my family down because I got the American citizenship, but can't get the expedited for the passport and like didn't think it through enough. And now I like,
well, I mean, but you,
there.
But that's also not on you because there's no traveling really that you couldn't have expected. Like, I need an expedited passport, you know?
I
just feel like it's such a weird time I just think you shouldn't put that on yourself, but I understand that feeling though of just, I mean, it's so helpless to feel like you can't go.
You're close with your family too. And I know you have such a great family who I've met at your home, yes. At your parents' home. It was so nice to go there.
Yes.
But it's just hard when you're really close with your family because you're just supposed to be there. Like, supposed to be there.
Totally.
And I feel bad that I live here. I'm like, I feel bad that I live here.
No, I fully get that. I've had, I mean, nothing that compares to that level, but like just the feeling of wanting to be back and wanting to help out with the problem or something that's going on.
Yeah.
And like feeling so trapped. And I mean, this is like, normally I go home a few times a year and I know you go home regularly and it's like, this is just crazy to feel like you can't just do the thing you would normally do, which is just hop on a plane and go be there for everyone.
Exactly. And it's like, and that
And for
part,
yourself. I mean,
yes, it mainly, it's selfish at this point because I'm like, if I don't see these people, if I don't see one of them, at least I'm going to lose my mind. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I'm on, and even the time difference, I'm not getting information at the same time. It's like, mm-hmm. I wake up and nobody's contacting me because they're afraid I'm sleeping, but stuff's happened and and then I don't know about it and I start blasting everybody and hope somebody gets back to me. And it's like, so it's one of, so to get to the friend thing, it's like, I don't want to put that on anybody else, but I can't take on anybody else's issues. Like, it, you know what I mean? I'm like,
I fully get that.
Yeah.
I feel really similarly with not wanting to put my stuff on other people though. I think I went through a really hard time a few years ago and like that, and it stuck with me for a long time. And like, that is something where I'm like, I don't want to even put it there. And so so much of my like dealing with my pain is like internal. Mm-hmm. And then I think this is something that is playing a role with my friend where this is not how she deals with stuff.
Right.
And so for me not being, I'm like, well, I don't deal with stuff that way. So I'm not responding well, or I'm not doing what you expect me to do, but this is not how I deal with things. Like, I go inward more than I go looking for everyone to talk to me, you know?
Yeah, I actually agree with that about you. And this is from, like, obviously we were friends from Chicago. So, I mean, like, 15, 17 years, I mean, a long time ago is when we met, like, obviously, but it's like, you were definitely not the public crier of the group. You know what I mean? Like, were a more reserved, and I went to you with problems. Like, I mean, you and Candy were there for me when literally no one else was. Literally nobody else was. And you guys were there for me, and I was dumping all that on you guys and felt bad because I put you in a position that you guys would be unable to deal with, because anyone would be unable to deal with it, because we needed a professional to deal with it, obviously. So that's not a comment on you.
No, no, obviously. I understand that. But yeah, but no, but that's, but that, that's a good example. Like, I feel like I want to be there for, you know, I think we both, of course, wanted to be there for you, and I want to be there for all my friends. And there's just, but there's just some situations where you're like, I don't know what to do, or I'm, or I think I'm doing everything I can, and it's not enough, or
whatever.
And it's like, and it becomes so, this becomes so challenging. And I think even like with what you're saying about like your friends, nothing they can say is enough. And I've been there before too, where it's like, there's nothing you can say to me that is going to make this better.
Yeah.
Maybe one person kind of knows how to say something, you know, like,
yeah,
you might have that one friend where you're like, it's still gonna be kind of wrong, but like, I know, I really know she's like the safest person to talk to about this or whatever.
Yeah.
You have those people, but like, some things are just so big. It's just like, it's just, and I think there's people where they really, they would let you say anything, and they want to hear anything, and they want the feedback and whatever it is, and they want to just share, and that's how they feel better. And that's not really always true for me. Like, I think sometimes I feel like, oh, I just like dumped all that on that person. And then it adds like a layer of like guilt to it. Like,
yes,
I have this problem. And then I also just told you all about this problem, and now you have to think about this. And like, it's like, it's too much.
And then it makes you feel weak. Like, I feel weak right now. And it's like, I didn't tell any of my friends. And then finally I had to, because my birthday's this weekend and one of my friends wants
to. Yes, I know. Well, you know what? I actually remember, I'm really good with birthdays. And I was like, I almost said we should do this on June 6th. And I was like, wait, no, we shouldn't do it on June 6th.
I've got the big birthday to talk about with just Norm. And my friend, Norm was like, what do you want to do? And I went, literally nothing. And but my friend wanted a little backyard thing, like four of us, five of us to say a happy birthday. And I had to message her this morning to tell her about the stroke, which I hadn't told her about, because I went, oh, just so you know, if I cancel, I'm not just making a rash decision. Like, I literally, and she didn't, she was like, you can do whatever you want. She was very understanding. Yeah. But I felt like, I felt I had to explain myself, because the last thing I need is somebody being upset with me because if they think I'm being ungrateful or making rash decision or whatever. And again, she was so understanding, thank God.
Yeah.
But I was worried about that. And that is like an extra stress, especially as women. Oh my God. Yes. Especially as women, we do this to ourselves. And because we're raised, you know, so many people of having to be quiet in a marriage and in family and in a and whatever kind of friendship or relationship, to be passive, to not stir up trouble. But then you're like, if I don't talk about it or if I don't get it out, that's trouble. That's the trouble. Yeah. But it's to who? It's to who do you talk about it with?
Totally. Totally. And I mean, for me, like I started doing therapy a couple years ago, and that was like such a game changer, because I felt like, okay, I can fully let this out to this person. And even then, I still feel some level of like, should I be asking how you are? Like, you know,
oh my God, like, I do that too. I'm like, how's the new puppy?
It's so hard not to, because I'm like, it just feels so weird to have a completely one-sided relationship. But then when I send her money on Venmo, I'm like, okay, I think it's balanced.
But one-sided relationship works just fine.
I think it's good. But I'm like, that has helped me so much, because I put that off for like a long time. Like, I kind of always was like, I think I see the value of that. And I always thought like it was cool that people I knew went to therapy, but I never did.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I, you know, needed it really, I was like, oh, this is great just all the time. Like, even when I'm having a good time and I don't want to go, like I'm having a good day, I end up going and I'm like, oh yeah, that was necessary too. Like, I end up crying somehow about some other shit that I thought I was fine with or whatever.
The unexpected tears, always a treat. And I put my therapy in the morning. I got to stop doing that. I'll tell you what, that's, I should do it bed.
Me too, because I've booked it so many times before a podcast, and then I'm like, I'm exhausted and I feel horrible and I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to go to sleep. Like, oh, I can't, God. Like, and then I have to like turn it on and do some shit.
Yeah. And it's so like, I just want to say this. I'm really proud of you for going to therapy later in life, because sometimes I feel like people are stuck in their ways and they're like, no, I'm like this, or I don't need to talk about this. And they're like, so quick to define themselves. But you're like, I could start becoming a gymnast now if I really needed to, you know, not a good one, but I could.
But totally. No, and I think that's such a good mentality. Like, I think about that a lot with getting older, that I just want to be somebody who is still open to doing different things.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think our careers, like, allow for that, like being like comedians, like whatever, like you are often put in situations that are, you know, nerve-wracking, or you have to do something or try something and rise to the occasion. And so that's good for you. But like, even beyond that, I'm like, I just want to be someone who like goes and does the thing, like goes on a trip or like talks to the person or does whatever. And like, nothing huge. I'm not, yeah, you know, but I just, I think like there's this friend of mine who lives in New York, and her grandparents are these like cool artists, and they're in their 80s, and they're just like, they live in Soho and they're just so cool. And they always, they're down for everything, you know? And I'm like, I love that mentality. Like these older people who just like want to be in the world and meet the new people and find out what they think about this. You know, it's just, it's great.
I want to be that.
It keeps you so young.
I want to be that so bad. And it's, I will say this, this is a silver lining of COVID. And just so everybody knows, that this whole thing has sucked for all of us. But
yeah. This,
you know what I mean? That's the blanket statement. Yeah. But the silver lining for me personally is I've become a yes person. And I was so, we already talked about this, homebody, and keep in mind, guys, and I will speak on your behalf and Candy's, we were having a blast, okay? So
it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. We were not missing out. We didn't care. And it was a choice. Just so everybody knows, we had plenty of friends we could have hung out with, and we chose. We chose to watch.
We were in a big city with tons of shit to do, and we didn't do any of it. And we stayed home. We watched The L Word 8 times in a row. I mean, I don't know. That's
it's, first of all, guys, great show. But that aside, great show. That aside, definitely I stayed that way very much so, and still always had friends. The theater was really good about opening up to new to make new friends and stuff. But now, like, I made a statement months ago when we were really in the lockdown, saying when we get out, I will say yes to any event. And of course, if an extenuated, like, I'm supposed to go somewhere
tomorrow.
I did
hear you say that on the podcast.
I said it, and I'm already bailing. But in my defense, it's because of the situation with my grandma.
No, I'm totally kidding.
That's the only reason why.
You have a very valid reason.
Because it's really touch and go, and I'm like, I just don't want to be at the party.
No. You don't need to be.
Yeah, and then be like, oh, gotta go. My life fell apart. But
yeah, of course.
Don't get me wrong. Love the party. But it's one of those things where it has encouraged me to say yes, because I am feeling the need for connection. And like you said, where you realize, oh, we're not text friends, like with various people in our lives and stuff like that. My text friends have, it's become a very small group that I love, that I need, that I'm so into. But I'm also like, I need to open back up, because I'm becoming too dependent on that group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think I agree with that too. And I also think that I am becoming really dependent on just myself. Like, I've like gotten like really okay with like just being alone.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have my husband at home, so like we are together a lot, and that's fun and great. But I, even when I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go do something, it's still by myself. Like,
right.
I'm gonna, like, even yesterday I went to the Container Store, which was like my huge outing, and I was really excited. But I was like, oh, this is like great. I feel like I'm having a great time. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should like start to see people. Because I'm like, I'm so comfortable with just being by myself, and I have fun by myself. But I also have noticed that during this year, I've really filled in the like conversational blanks with like podcasts. Like, I'm just like, I pretty much turn on a podcast like at all times. Like when I'm just by myself. And I love it, because most of the podcasts I listen to are people I know. So it feels like
you're hanging out.
I'm just getting to hang out. Yeah. There's like a feeling of like some actual stimulation happening of like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's what Atlanta's up to, or that's what Naomi's up to, or whatever, you know? And like, that feels like a connection, but it's not a two-way street. And so then I'm like, okay, once the world, you know, once I'm fully vaccinated, I'm back and able to do everything, like, I need to try to do that. But it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. And first of all, the Container Store, Lauren, is the only friend you need. You and I are the same, very organized. How many times did we clean out your closet?
Oh my God, best activity. Best activity. I mean, I love it. You're the best at that too. And then you, of course, I just tweeted needing a label maker and you have the perfect recommendation.
Yeah, guys, I should have just asked you. I had it sitting at the computer and I was like, oh, by the way, and I just held it up and showed her. And it is, you guys can recommend all you want on Twitter. I know mine for a fact is the best. I know it is.
I'm going to just order it and like delete the tweet.
Delete the tweet. We don't need your garbage, guys. Delete the tweet, Lauren. Yeah, that's actually... But I kind of love that you've been able to be with yourself because you do a lot. So like you are really out there. It's just, it's disguised as work. Oh, okay, wait, it is work. But it's like, you're like, oh, I'm not seeing friends or this or that. And it's like, Lauren, you see a gajillion people. Like you see so many people.
And that is so true. Like, I mean, I think it's so easy for me to be like, I didn't do anything. And then I'm like, well, I am on a show and I'm going to do shit all the time. But that's also where I go like, that's enough. Like I've definitely put that in a category of like, that's good enough for me. And I also think before the pandemic, I was kind of all right with that too, in some ways, where it's like, if I'm working, I'm okay with just being like, those are the people that I see for this period of time. Mm-hmm. But then, but because we had improv shows and stuff, it was so easy to feel like you had a social life without really going out of your way. Like, I'll just show up at the theater, I'll do a show, I'll see, you know, 20 people that I really like, and that's like fun. And then I go home. Like, I'm never really going to the bar, like doing all the crazy stuff that a lot of people do, like hanging out all hours. I don't really do that anymore. So like, that would always feel good enough. But then I think that's like, now that it's just work, I'm like, I don't see anyone or do anything. And it's like, that's not exactly true. Like I am out doing stuff, but it's like, yeah, I'm missing that like built in social life that I just had. And it's like, I have to make effort and like, go see one person at a time kind of thing. And like, that just, it's so much more. It's just so much more.
Well, I think the difference with like a job, because I'm the same when I'm in work mode, I'm the happiest I can be. I don't care if I'm friends with people or not. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm working. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I'm needed. What a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Totally.
But it's like, it's just that you're not choosing the people you hang out with. So it could be disguised as like, oh, I'm not seeing my friends. Or you're just like, well, these are my friends now for this period of time. This is the crew. Right. I talk to them. It's not like you walk in, storm into your dressing room, come on set, say five lines and storm right back out.
Right.
Like, you're talking to them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it kind of counts. Now, I have a question because you announced you were pregnant. And God, you look great in your photos. I'm embarrassed. I have nothing but time to look good. And you better believe it's not happening. But
Well, that's like one day that happened. But thank you.
They caught you on a good day. They caught you on the one day.
I literally had people do my hair and makeup. So you're fine.
Good for you, though, dude. It's like my makeup went bad. I had to buy all new makeup.
I did buy all new makeup during this time too. I hadn't been using it for so long, and I was like, this is kind of gross.
Oh my God,
like,
my eyes like, cracked.
Well, and you also realize, like, I don't know, I realized that I had stuff that's like, I think I bought this 5 years ago. Yes. Like, you're not supposed to keep using it that long. But like, shit lasts, but I threw a lot of it away and I felt good about that.
Yeah, you got it. Well, if I were there, I'd help you clean it out. You know that. But
I know. That's the best.
Are you nervous at all? Because if you're talking about being on your own, which it sounds like you're in a good place with that, but having a baby coming soon from what you had posted, does that make you nervous at all that it might isolate you? It will isolate you further, obviously. Are you nervous about that? Or are you like glad that you've been okay being alone? So you're ready for that. And with your husband, I know your husband's there as well. Of course.
Yeah. It's weird because like, I think if this happened not in the pandemic, I might feel more nervous about having this time where like, I'm not going to be working and I'm going to be home and I have to be like, you know, sort of hunker down or whatever. I'm really comfortable with what that means. I'm like, well, now I know what it's like to really not see anyone. Mm-hmm. But I also am like hoping that I'll be, because people are vaccinated and that like things feel safer in that way, especially in LA.
Yeah.
Like I can have people come by and like hang out briefly or whatever. But even that, I don't know what I'll want. Like it's such a new territory that I have no idea how it will feel. Like there is the version of this time alone where I'm by myself and I can entertain myself and, you know, fill my day and do whatever around the house and it's fine. But then now there's going to be this like added factor where I don't know what it's like to have a baby. So I'm like, you know, like I maybe I'll feel really depressed, or maybe I'll feel really scared or like overwhelmed, or maybe it'll be really relaxing. I have no clue.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what makes me nervous, is like, I just don't know how I'll feel.
Well, and it's hard because you wouldn't even know how you would feel without COVID. But, and right, now, right. And now the totally. Literal safety issue of COVID.
Yes. Yes. So it's just another added layer of like being worried about that, which sucks, because I also really want to have the freedom of going anywhere and do anything and having anyone come over, and like, I want that all the time. It's like, this has been the worst part of it, is the fear mm-hmm. and like the trying to protect myself throughout this time, which I feel like I've gotten really good at, but then it's like, you know, some people think it's crazy. I don't know. So it's,
I was hardcore. Everyone yeah. thought I was being insane. And I was like, yeah, but guess who didn't get COVID? Like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't know what to tell you guys. My life is on the line. You. I love you, but fuck you. My life is on the Thank line. You.
This is the thing that like, and a lot of my friends are on exactly the same page, but there's, you know, a handful that are, you know, looser or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're
That's
like,
a nice way to put it.
And then they get, by the way, a lot of them got COVID, but yeah. Okay. Like, I at the end of the day, I'm like, I did everything I could and I didn't get it. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's like that worked.
And I didn't give it to anybody. So
and I didn't
feel,
give it to anyone.
I feel good. I feel like the vaccine was a reward for all my good work that yeah. I did. I protected myself. I protected others. And it's like, people thought I was being totally crazy and too strict. And even now I still haven't been in a restaurant. I did a patio. I did outdoor.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Haven't gone inside yet. Still waiting on that, because obviously your mask is off when you're eating and everything yeah. like that. But it's like, I don't care. I'm going to ease into it all I want, because this is COVID really made us individuals. There's no more like yes. even Norm and I felt different about it. And yeah. this is my partner in life. And he had one idea and I had another, and I was not compromising, because I was like, I'm still an individual. I might be married to you, yeah. but I'm Alana Johnston, and I need to take care of Alana Johnston, because if yeah. I get COVID, you get COVID, my man. I don't know what to tell
totally.
You.
Totally. And I mean, I think that's so interesting. Like, I even had it with my parents, where I was like really strict with them, you know, mm-hmm. from afar. I could only do so much, but like, it was a conversation that came up, especially more towards the beginning, where I was just like, stop doing stuff. Stop.
Oh,
going
my mom
places.
Sneaking
like,
into a grocery store, and then I caught her on FaceTime and I could hear the announcer. She held it close to her face, Lauren. She held it close to her face so that we could only see her face. And then I hear this announcement and I go, what's that? And she was like, and just didn't answer. And I was like, are you out? Course pulls yeah. back. She's in produce. I was like, mom. Like, we just talked this about this.
I know. And I got like that too. And then I was like, after, now that my mom's vaccinated and everyone's okay, thank God. But she was like, you were a bit much during that or whatever. And I was like, at the end of the day, we all didn't get COVID. So I feel like it was good that you had that extra layer of like guilt from me.
Yeah.
That you should just stay home, even if you're bored or whatever. Like, just stop.
Oh my
everything
God.
Forever.
They're high. Our parents are high risk, the age group and yeah. everything. And I'm like, you guys were being the craziest ones. Like, it was all the
of
younger
course.
People I know, like, of, well, our middle
I feel like
age,
our generation
age,
specifically. Yeah.
We
yeah.
held it together.
Was more serious.
Well, young
yeah.
people went nuts. They went like yeah. in the yes. colleges, everybody was like, who cares? And I was like, best of luck. And then the older people yeah. were like, no, we're tough. We know best.
I know. But you know, I was so worried, because I knew three people who lost a parent to COVID.
Oh my God.
And it was like, when I, and of course at the beginning I was terrified that everyone I knew was going to die. But then like, once that fear kind of calmed a little bit, I was like, okay, it's not that crazy. But it, and then I saw these stories and I'm like, oh, it really is happening. Like, it's not someone I don't know somewhere random, and it's not a number on the news. Like, mm-hmm. I know that person and that happened to them. So like, I'm going to be hard on you to stay home or to do whatever, because it's just too risky. And we still don't really know how those people got it. You know, it's like,
exactly.
there's not always a clear answer of like, oh, I went to this place and touched this thing or breathed on this person or whatever. It's like, it's, we just don't know. So I appreciate myself in retrospect. I'm like, I am still glad I was like that. I don't care if it was annoying.
Oh, I love like, it.
Whatever.
I, honestly, listen, I'm going to make a bold statement, guys. Bring on the next one. I'm ready. Because I don't care. I am making a statement on this podcast now. If there's a second wave or something else happens in our lifetime, honestly, I'm going to laugh in everybody's face through my mask. I'm going to have a huge laugh and be like, you all thought we were out of the clear and I knew it. I kept my mask. I kept my gloves. I kept everything. I don't care.
Oh yeah. And I'm still hand sanitizing after everything I touch and everywhere I go.
Well, you
and
have to.
Even like yesterday that happened and Mike, my husband was like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm still doing this. Like, I'm still.
Well, first of all, you're pregnant. Out of the gate, you're pregnant.
Oh, totally.
But like, totally. The second thing is that here's what people aren't taking gratitude for. None of us have gotten colds or the flu or anything. Nobody's getting sick. So I'm like, guys, this precaution is a gift in general for your health to keep things at bay so that you're just straight up not getting sick and then getting everybody else sick. And I'm like,
right.
This precaution was a gift to actually be in the best health you can be other than like, you know, if you made the choice to be drinking and stuff, okay, that's recreational. That's a different story.
Totally.
And I fell into that for sure.
I mean, this whole time it's like, it was, especially in the beginning, I was like, it's the easiest thing to just smoke weed and
oh my God. And good night. See in a few days. Like, I don't, you think I care? And it's like, there's
nothing to do, nowhere to go, no one to see. Like, yeah.
You should have seen me last night. I was having a real fuck it. I was just like, I don't care. And I was trying to be reckless. It didn't last long. I went to bed at 8:00, but I'll tell you what, for those 2 hours, watch yourself. From 6 to 8, I was turning up. I was really turning up.
I feel like you've always been really good at going to sleep.
Thank you.
Early.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I appreciate you. First of all, I wish Norm was listening to this because boy, am I getting razzed in the house. And I'm like, first of all, I'm saying, look who's waking up fresh as a daisy, never later than 7 a.m.
Yes.
I'm getting, Lauren, the amount of things I've gotten done before we did this podcast, I'm done for the day. That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question because you mentioned your dog and I feel like I've heard you have two conflicting opinions about this dog. A, that it like saved you because you were able to like go out and do things, and B, that you regret getting the dog.
Yes.
So I'm like, where are you with the dog and what's the story?
Lauren, you've caught me at a terrible time once again. and here's the joke, guys. I asked you to be on the podcast, but boy, am I giving you the worst Alana I could possibly give you.
No way.
I needed to get it off my chest. I was really excited to talk to you because sometimes I have people I don't know as well and we're getting to know each other, but like,
yeah,
I felt safe. I mean, again, this was the first time I'd mentioned my niece's cancer and I felt really safe to talk to you about it because you were there for me. You really did show up for me. And when it comes to the dog, okay, she re-injured her leg and I'm crying about it because I can't help her and she's in pain. And now we think she broke her ankle on the same leg.
What is happening? Why?
She was abused beforehand.
Oh, so maybe she's really weak.
She came to us with that injury and we didn't know it. So we did the surgery. It didn't take. She has behavioral problems to see other dogs. She jumps. She just gets so excited. We can't really stop her. And we tried CBD. She's on trazodone to calm her down. Like, I'm telling you, Lauren, we're dropping bucks and we're doing everything that we can. And I know you love your pets as much. I know, like, I was there at the beginning of Lulu. So,
she has kidney disease now.
Oh,
it's really
you
sad.
See? But that's, it's like,
I know.
It hits you like it's a baby. Like, it hits you
I know.
So hard.
She's 15.
Oh,
it's
my
so crazy.
God. Still cute, though. Great photos you posted of her.
Yeah. Oh, she's stunning, but you know. Very, she's okay. Lost a lot of weight.
You definitely took her to the next level. She's stunning.
I don't think anyone would argue with that.
Honestly. I'm not going to argue with it. I appreciate the wording. But it's just so hard because this is my love-hate with her. And I regret it because, so I'm not, I don't plan to have kids. If one lands in my lap, I guess I'll raise it. But I don't, it's not the plan.
Yeah.
And it's because one of the reasons, there's medical reasons, but one of the reasons emotionally was that I don't think I can handle loving something that much that I can't control. And that's dog has brought out of me. And I'm crying because I feel so bad and I feel like I failed this dog. That's another reason why I'm at it too, because I was like, I couldn't figure out how to train this dog well enough to keep her down. And now she's in pain every day.
It's so hard, like, though.
It's so hard.
With, especially with a rescue when they have, like, behavioral issues and stuff. I've seen this happen with a lot of people I know. They, it's like you sometimes never can.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like they it's not, you shouldn't, you know, put it on yourself. But it is, like, it's so hard to live with, because
yes.
you're like, you feel like it's your response. I mean, it is your responsibility to take care of the dog, of course, but like, you feel like it's your responsibility to fix them.
Yeah.
But it's this, like, wild animal, basically, that's like, you know.
Well, and we got her when she
was, don't even know.
Exactly. We got her when she was five. So it was 5 years yeah. of abuse and yeah. being mistreated. And it's like, Lauren, this dog is 55 pounds. I have to carry her in and out of the house because there's stairs. And then I have to carry her to a spot to go to the bathroom. Like, oh. it's like, sometimes it's at 4 a.m. Like, I'm losing my mind over here. So I'm
That's
mad
really
at her.
Hard. Oh,
it's
my God.
So hard. I'm mad at her. But I'm also like, it's because I love her. It's.
Yeah. It's, and you want to be the, you want to take care of her.
Like, I want to save
doing
her.
All the things.
Yeah. I just want to save her. So.
God, that's so hard.
I'm glad.
Well, I'm sorry I brought that up.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you brought it up. Norm and I
addressed
it.
I didn't know it was so loaded. I honestly, I was like, I thought it might just be like, you're like, I didn't really want a dog and now I have a dog. Like, but no, it's a much more intense.
It's yeah. answer.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're piling it on today. We got it. We're getting out. This already feels better to learn just to come out and
yeah.
even to hear myself say all the things in one. It's like I've been, and I obviously haven't been lying, but I've been withholding some information.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was in an interrogation room and I confessed, and now I'm like, oh, thank God. I've confessed to the crime. I'm done. You know?
Yeah. It's hard when you're doing a podcast because I feel like, especially your podcast is so intimate, like with the things that you share and the things people talk about, just the topics in general, not necessarily people sharing, you know, everything about themselves.
Sure.
But like, it's still a lot to even talk about self-esteem that like, and I mean, even with my stuff that I do, which is decidedly not vulnerable, but there's still like the feeling of withholding, you know, you're like, oh, nobody knows this thing's happening, or
yes.
like, you know, and it's a lot when you're doing something like this and you're dealing with something else, like whether you're doing a show like what I do where it's all just stupid shit that about nothing, or you do this where you're like, you're sharing vulnerable stuff and then you're like avoiding a certain topic, it's like that's really hard.
Well, I mean this is my niece's third time with the cancer coming back, and I haven't said a peep until I did that Twitter
yeah.
post, and I did that Twitter post because of necessity, you know.
Well,
what
I thought
mean?
It was great that you did, because obviously you have a reach, and like then you were able to get all that money, which the GoFundMe cannot work without that.
Yeah,
without being shared.
You just like, you have to do it, and
but it's so vulnerable.
Oh my God, it's so vulnerable, and it's overwhelming, the generosity of strangers,
and then that's vulnerable too. Like, it's like accepting that.
Oh my God, dude,
is like. So intense.
My family was like, they didn't even know how to respond, because they were, first of all, they didn't make it. So somebody else made
yeah.
it, their friend.
Oh,
so they
okay.
didn't even know. And
yeah.
then they found out the numbers are
oh,
exploding.
That's so nice.
It was so nice, but to them it was so overwhelming, because they're just like, she's not even medically cleared to go yet. Like, they have to wait. It's kind of going to be very last minute, because every day is a bit of a different situation.
But that's also what's so great about having that security, is like, the second you can, you can.
That's what I mean. It's money in hand, and they can just zoom out, and it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because they have to fly first class, get insurance. Like, it's just all this, you know, how complicated, obviously, for safety and everything like that. I was going to go meet them. I got kicked out of the trip. And listen, it's okay.
For real?
I did. I got kicked out of the trip because.
First
of all, I got kicked out of coming home. Then I got kicked out of invited to this trip. Then I got kicked out of this trip. But it's because there's like this special thing they do at Disney for sick kids specific. It's like a special genie pass thing, and you jump the line, but then there's like special tea party with princesses and this kind of stuff.
And there's like a limit on the people?
It just immediate.
Yeah.
And I don't count because I'm just the aunt. It's just immediate. So it was a good reason for me to be kicked out. Very comical, though, just to...
that's really
you know?
Funny.
Yeah, I was, like, so excited.
But that's so nice that they would get to have all those experiences.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And if I went, they wouldn't. So I'm like, and it's the safest experience there that they can have. So it's fantastic. And I really do hope that that trip happens. I do have one thing I have to say, because talking about listening to podcasts and, you know, enjoying feeling like you're hanging out with friends. So I finished listening this morning to yours and Nicole's newcomers of the witness of Medea's witness protection.
Oh my God. Lord.
All you guys. So just, first of all, you guys got to check out this podcast, Newcomers. It's with Nicole Byer and with Lauren. It's wild. And they're doing the Medea movies. And Lauren, you guys were like, I did not like this movie. But let me tell you, you sold it. Because I was like, oh, I got to watch this movie. And you guys already spoiled the whole plot. It came out a long time ago, so you're not spoiling it. But the whole plot has been revealed. The entire
movie. Yeah, no, I have to say, though, I mean, so we did like that podcast. We will watch each season. We watch something we've never seen. So the first was Star Wars, which was a whole thing. And the second season was Lord of the Rings, which, God help me. I mean,
you guys were struggling with that one. That one, because those movies are crazy.
Well, like 15 episodes in, you're like, I cannot continue to speak about this.
No.
Like, I need to move on. But we couldn't. And so then now we're doing Tyler Perry movies, and it's been amazing. It has been one of the most surprising and like funniest things ever. His movies are bonkers, and his TV shows are crazier than that. It's like I really enjoy it. And I mean, it's like, it's funny because it's like the Lord of the Rings and Star Wars are like the most critically acclaimed shit, you know, and then we're watching these movies that have like a 9 on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, but I'm like, this is actually great. Like, I could not stop watching it. I thought it was hilarious. I'm laughing out loud. Like,
I'm with you, dude. I love a gag. We've always liked, you and I, notorious for bad television.
Mainly.
Like, like, almost exclusive.
I have not watched Mayor of Easttown. I have not watched Breaking Bad. I have not watched, you say, the list of like great things that I have not seen, yet I've seen every hour and second of 90 Day Fiancé. It's like, yeah, well, those people are really interesting. What do you want me to say? Like, I mean, that's like a great program.
Yeah, it's also like good character study to watch the real life show. God. Very good character study for comedians.
Don't you think like those people, you just go, oh, no one can ever say my characters are unrealistic.
No.
They are exactly like this. This is real. These are real people. And yeah.
And that's just how they function. And I think people think as comedians, like when we do big characters, that we're making it up. But I'm like, most of my characters are my mom. Like, almost, it's just in a different blazer. But it's like, I'm quoting real things she has said. I'm doing real accent work. It's like, this is my mom.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And, but you, so I will say this, because you do say in this episode, you have been enjoying the movies, and then this one, not as much.
Yeah, that one was harder. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and it sounded, I mean, it sounded like it got out of hand. That, for sure, that movie, compared to the other ones. But
yeah,
now more than ever, I just need, and I don't mean this to be rude, the description, but I need a dumb movie, because it's too much right now. It's just, everything's too much.
It's so much. Like, I watch This Is Us every week, and that's a show where they have acknowledged the pandemic and they're wearing masks, and then I'm like, now they're wearing masks? I'm like, I want to escape. Like, I appreciate it on one level because it's like, it seems like it's moving in real time and whatever, but I'm also like, I really want to just not think about this.
I hate the masks. Get them out of the show. I hate the masks in shows. I hate it.
No show needs to have a mask on. We all understand that it's like, it's fake. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to acknowledge this.
Here's the thing I will say about 90 Day Fiancé. Guys, don't worry about it. They're barely wearing masks. unless they're forced to. Unless they're forced to. It's like, everyone's always at a casual restaurant having a blast.
That is so true. And that part does fuck me up more. I'm like, I wish you would.
Oh, but yeah,
like, and like, oh my God, wait, there's this show Marriage or Mortgage on Netflix that is so crazy. And it's basically a couple, each episode is a couple that's like, we have $30,000. Should we spend it on a down payment for a house, or should we get married? And it's like, obviously I'm watching this going, buy the house.
Buy the house.
Are you insane? Why would you have a wedding for, if you have $30,000 and you have one option of how to spend it, you should get a house. But these people, they almost every episode they pick a wedding. And then COVID happens. Oh, and either their wedding is like fucked and it's all weird, or they have a fully normal wedding and it's during COVID. There was one where there was like 100 people. They're all like cheersing and like dancing, oh, all these God. Things. And I'm like, oh, they must have been able to squeeze it in before COVID. And then I see the date on like the cake was like October 2020.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
What the fuck?
Like right in the thick of it.
Like at the peak. You guys are having a great time.
It is.
But I mean, different cities handled it really differently. I mean, even like I have family in Atlanta, and like I know that was a really different story over there than how we were treating it here. So it's just like,
well, I mean,
it's just wild.
In keeping with the theme of Canada of always being behind the U.S., they decided to surge a year after the pandemic began.
I know, that was so crazy because they were doing so well.
Better than anybody. Better than anybody. Yeah. And they shut down earlier. They were paying, everybody was getting like $2,000 a month. Like they were paying everybody to stay home. And of course, there's already the free healthcare there. So it's like everything was being done correctly. And I mean, it's like everywhere. No one can escape it. I mean, it just comes.
It's crazy. But oh, I also wanted to say congrats on your citizenship. That was so exciting.
Thank you so much. Sure.
How was that for you?
Nerve wracking. I almost, oh my God, yeah. Lauren, let me just tell you a quick tidbit. I almost didn't get it because they go through your application. I got the civics questions right. I got 10 out of 10, but they go through the application that you filled out. It's like 18 pages and you have to put all your travel in the last 5 years, like lots, oh, all the work. Wow. Very intense. They're very intense. So she's going through my travel. I had one of the dates incorrect by a day. That was fine. And oh, then God. She goes to me. So first of all, this woman already hates me. But then she goes to me, what happened January 2016 at the border? I go, what? And she goes, something happened. What happened? I went, well, I don't know. Because I've always gotten back into the country and into Canada, no problem. I've never been denied to get in. And she goes, well, something happened. What was it? And I go, was it that time I had an apple in my bag and I didn't know it? And they like pulled me to the side and I had to take the apple out and throw it out. And then she was like, yep. On my record.
Oh my God.
On my record, January 2016, an apple incident. Can you believe that?
What?
And she was like,
crazy.
Thought I was
even
lying.
Remembering. That's so wild. I mean, that's such an insane thing to even question you about, like who would even care? Because I flew to Australia a few years ago and I had a bunch of fruit in my bag that I had planned to eat on the plane, but I actually just slept for 19 hours straight.
Oh my God. Holy shit. I've never heard of somebody sleeping for 19 hours on a plane.
Dude, I had the worst seat on the plane. I was in the back. I was in the last row in the window, squished next to some dude I didn't know. So I just curled into a ball onto my seat and like took a Tylenol PM or something. And I was like, it's over. Like, I was like, I'm not getting up.
It's
I think
over.
I stood up once. I was like, meanwhile, I was flying for Comedy Bang Bang. Meanwhile, Scott's in like, you know, first class or something where he's like all spread out and like laying flat. And I was like in a complete ball, but I didn't stand up, but I had all this fruit because I had planned like, I'm going to eat really healthy snacks the whole time and feel really good. And then I got there and they like pulled me to the side and I had to like throw out like, you know, like 20 oranges. Like, I don't know why I had all this stuff, but like it was, but it, the idea that they would put it on the record and be like, you are in trouble.
Well,
for
she
this.
Was thinking like, I was lying. Like I'm withholding because you have to put all your information. And then.
But you were supposed to have written, I once got pulled over because I had an apple.
Yes.
Like it's like, who would, but you like forget about these.
Literally
things,
that's,
you know?
A, of course it took me, I sat there. It was like a few minutes for me to think about it in which she's only getting more mad at me. Right? Because I like, of course, I
like,
can't
it's
remember.
It's not like it was a scarring incident. Like, it was like no big deal.
And they let me on the plane. I got pulled aside. They look through the bag. Here's the apple. We throw out the apple. And then I'm through the border. I got in. Yeah. It's fine. And I'm telling you, it was like, so she's all mad at me about this. We're sitting in silence for God knows how long. And then finally she's like, okay. I've recommended your approval. You get sworn in on Friday. And I just, it was like, I teared up because I was like, I almost didn't get it. Like I just
almost
didn't get it.
The power that person has seems to have gone to her head, I will say. Because it's like to lord the apple thing over you and then sit there and go, all right, you're approved. It's like, so dude, rude. That's the biggest moment of your
it's
life.
The biggest
like, come
thing
on.
That's ever like, happened to me. And it was like, it was so crazy too, because I was the last appointment of the day and you could tell she was pissed. She was still there. You could tell.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those
things. So, but it was thank so God bad. She let you through and it wasn't just like in a, such a bad mood that she's like, nah.
Yeah, right? One look
I mean,
at
that's
me.
Crazy.
Nah.
We don't want you.
We don't need you. Go enjoy
that's
your
so
Canadian
exciting,
apples.
Though.
Yeah. It was.
So then what's the ceremony like?
Oh my God, Lauren, from bad to worse. The ceremony, we go there and it's fewer people. They don't do the big one with everybody. They do it just the people of that week to keep the numbers smaller for COVID, spread out, all that stuff. It's okay. Outside, right? And the guy, we wait in line, we sign in, and then you go stand. And then this guy, he goes, he instructs us, we're going to read this oath, and before we read it, he goes, in this envelope is an application for your passport. You will not get it sooner than 6 months. If you want to travel somewhere, that's fine. But you will be stranded because you are not welcome back in this country. And then I swore an oath saying I would join the army. I am not exaggerating, Lauren. I swear to God, this happened to me. Yes, Lauren, it was like, I looked to the woman beside me. She's like 70. And I looked to the woman beside me and her eyes are wide. Like you wouldn't believe, like we were just like.
I truly hate when people are mean during a nice thing when they have no reason to be. Like being like so strict, like. As if you're all going to go, can I go there tomorrow? Or, you know, like, as if you're all asking the dumbest question. Like, to be like, you cannot leave.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I'm actually really happy today.
I'm
like,
happy
can
to
we
be
just,
here.
Like, do this?
Lauren, we're all standing there holding our mandatory mini American flags. You have to take an American flag and you have to hold it during the oath. So we're all standing there with our little mini flags being yelled at about a passport application. And he was like,
I don't like that.
And then he says, check. You get the paper after that says you're an American citizen. You can't travel with it, but it's to apply for the passport. And uh-huh. He goes, make sure your name is right. If it is incorrect, this will be your permanent name. I was like, oh my God. I was
oh
freaking
my
out.
God.
Lauren, it was
so crazy.
Intense. It was so
I hate
intense.
That. I hate that. I feel like that happens in so many weird situations like that where there's that guy who's like preemptively pissed about everything you could ask. And it's like, dude, like, let's just do this. It actually makes me think of commercial auditions with how mean they would be, like, running the auditions.
Always.
Like, the people who run it, they're like, stand over here, smile. It's like, dude, no, you're assuming we're all idiots.
Yeah,
like, it's
starts
so
off,
rude.
Starts off every explanation with, all right, girls.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, cool, man. So glad I'm here. No, it was.
And then
you
see the commercial, and that guy booked it.
Yeah, right. Of course, of course. It was so. Ambulance. It was so frustrating, and it was at 8:30 in the morning, and I was like, this
no,
guy
crazy.
Is.
This is nuts.
This is the day for him. He loves it.
Yeah,
he's here, and boy, is he not letting me out of this country for 6 months.
Oh my
okay,
God,
Lauren. At the beginning of the podcast and the self-esteem variety check-in, you clocked in potentially 6, potentially 7. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling more like 7.5.
Excuse
I'm feeling,
me?
I'm feeling uplifted by our conversation. It felt so nice to reconnect with you, and I'm feeling good.
You know what?
Yeah.
I clocked in at what some people are calling a justified 2.
Yeah.
And I will say, and this is huge, this jump, but I would say I'm at a 5. You've calmed me down
that's
a bit.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Still a little, obviously, more information.
You have reason to be.
Yeah, I'm stressed out.
Not feeling great.
Yeah, I'm stressed out, but I'm like, I got to talk to a friend, and not to toot my own horn, but I'm proud of myself. I didn't cancel because I was debating
and
it.
And would have been justified. Yeah.
Yeah, I was debating it, and I knew you'd understand, obviously, because you know how close yes. I am with my family and everything, but I feel good. The 5 is not the neutral, it's the feel good of the day. That's like the max of
that's
the day.
That's great.
Yeah, and
well,
just
I'm happy.
Oh, I really appreciate you talking to me and
oh my God, of course.
Oh, it was just so nice to catch up. And it's so nice
it
to
it really was.
You know what I mean? And it's so nice to know, just to back to the beginning when you were wondering about we were both wondering about you doing the podcast. And it's just so nice to know that I'm like, oh yeah, we're all out of our minds. We're all in our heads.
Oh my God. No. It is that thing. It's similar to what I was saying before about how, like, when you have a problem, like when I have a problem with a friend, I feel like I'm the only person who has a problem with a friend. Like, but like, it's that same thing of like, you think you're the only one who feels that way. And then it's like, no, everyone is kind of having all these weird thoughts.
Everybody
and
doubting
themselves and being like, oh, I wonder why that's like that.
Or yeah, whatever. Exactly.
It's like, it's all fucking dumb. It's because then you talk and you're having a great time. I don't know.
Having a great time. Okay, Lauren, tell us about all the podcasts. Don't leave anything out because they're all fantastic. So tell us about the podcast and then tell us where we can find you because that's where you post about them.
Okay, so my current podcasts are Newcomers with Nicole Byer, which you can get anywhere. It's free. And I also do a show called Threedom with Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins, where we just like talk about our lives and then we play a game at the end, a different game every time. And that one's also available everywhere. And then I have a Patreon that you could subscribe to. And I do a lot of like watch alongs with movies and TV shows. You can like sync me up with the movie and like get my commentary and a lot of improv. There's like tons of stuff on there. So you can go to patreon.com/LaurenLapkus for that. And find me at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter and Instagram. And I'll post about all my stuff so you can listen to it.
Yeah, and listen, if you guys get on her Twitter there, don't tweet about the label makers. It's been resolved. Thank you.
We've got it covered. I don't want to hear about another one. By the time you're listening to this, I have made a million labels. And I'm doing
it's already done, guys. The labels are made. If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram and at Alana_Johnston on Twitter. Lauren, it's, you know how good this has been. You can see it on my face. My face is sweaty, but in a good way.
Same. This was great. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much. Aww. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self-Esteem Party.